notes, you know. Tonight we're going to be in the book of John, John chapter 9. We're going to look at the story about the man who was born blind and how Jesus healed him. So the first fill in the blank is Jesus came to proclaim to us. Jesus came to proclaim to us. You know, preachers like big crowds. And I remember hearing a story about a preacher. He was wanting to proclaim to his church. And at Christmas Eve, they had a big service going on. And he didn't have a whole lot to say that Christmas Eve. And the shepherds came up. The kids were going to do their play. And one of the little kids who's the shepherd, he said, "Preacher, you know, we have the biggest crowds when you're not preaching. I've just noticed that." So, you know, we're going to proclaim, though, tonight. Jesus is going to proclaim. So we'll look at John chapter 9, and we'll read 1 through 8. The Bible says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world.' When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is translated 'sent.' And he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, 'Is not this he who sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He is like him.' He said, 'I am he.'" Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful story that John writes. It's a story of love and passion and compassion, and a story where you come and you tell us and you love us and you save us. Help us, Lord, as we read this story this evening. Help us, God, to know what you want us to get out of it. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The previous chapter, chapter 8, Jesus had been proclaiming about who he was and what he was. He had been teaching in the temple all day long. He taught the people about who he was. He said he was the light of the world in John 8, 12. He told them that his Father had sent them from above in verse 28. He told them that if they would listen and pay attention to his word, that they would know the truth and the truth would set him free. That's in verse 32. And then he told them, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am," in verse 58. And then some of them took up stones to throw at Jesus and try to stone him. Jesus made his way out of the temple down the narrow streets in Jerusalem. And as he was coming down those narrow streets, the disciples were with him. And they took note, John took note of this story, of the blind man that was sitting by probably begging. And Jesus, the Bible says, passed by. He passed by. Then it tells us that Jesus saw the man who was blind. Then it tells us that Jesus stopped at the man. You know, the life of Jesus was characterized by passing by people and stopping to redeem their lives. He came, the Bible says, to seek and to save the lost. Aren't you glad that Jesus passed by you one day? He didn't pass on by, but he stopped and called your name. And he could have kept going, but in Jesus' plan, he loves people. And he came to proclaim who he was and to see us all. He could have spent his time with the rich and famous, with the governors. He could have spent his time with Pilate, with Herod. He could have spent his time with Ananias, the high priest. But Jesus came to seek and save those who were blind, those who were lost, deaf, the hurting, the poor, the maimed. He came to help the folks around, just the normal people. Luke records this as Jesus was getting up in the synagogue in Capernaum one day, and he records what Jesus read out of the Isaiah roll in chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus is proclaiming who He is. Will anybody listen? Jesus' goal was to press on to save lives. Notice the disciples asked Him a question. They said, "Lord, who sinned? Did this man sin or did his parents sin?" You know, back in those days, if something was wrong with you, and sometimes we still think that way. If you have an inflammation or if you have a malady or whatever, something's bad wrong with you, sometimes people say, "Well, you must have done something to cause that." And back in the Jewish days, those ancient days, they believed it might have been the sin of what you've done or the sin that your parents. But Jesus reminded them, He says, "Neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." We see that glory is a theme that John wants to proclaim. When the miracles in John that John records, he says that he always reminds us that they bring glory to God. Jesus is bringing glory to God and letting people know that God is revealed in him. And John's gospel, the miracles, like I say, bring glory to God. William Barclay says this. He says, "At the heart of this supreme truth, that the glory of God lies in His compassion, and that He never so fully reveals His glory as He reveals His pity. This man was suffering, but God is showing His grace to this man." Jesus is pressing on. His time on earth is limited. You notice that He's telling them, He says, "I must work for the day." He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a goal in mind, and He's got to keep pressing on for that day and reminding us that there's things to do. But this blind man who'd been born blind, that was part of His plan that day, to meet Him and to know Him and to reveal Himself to him. I like what the Bible says in Philippians. It reminds us about pressing on. Paul tells us while he's in jail, he writes this letter to the church of Philippi. He says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold on that which Jesus Christ also has laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Do we press on? Jesus has given us an example of pressing on to the goal that He has in life. Well, He's pressing on, but He also told the disciples, He says, "I'm the light of the world." He says, "I'm bringing this light. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." You know, you think about the light that the sun gives. You know, there's times I'll walk out in the woods in our yard and it gets close to dark and I may trip over something or I may not see something. I'll run into a big spider web or something, you know. But, you know, when the light is there, when the sun is fully bright, it's amazing what we can see. And, you know, Jesus came to give us spiritual light, to let us see the things, the heavenly things, the things that He wants us to see. He reveals this, the things that are hidden. He is giving sight on who God is and what God is to us. The writer of Hebrews reminds us about this. He says, "God at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the worlds, who being the brightness," he used that word brightness because God is light, "of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power." So God is reminding these disciples that sometimes things that happen to us are meant to be. We may not understand it. This blind man born blind from birth, he didn't understand it to begin with. But God has a purpose sometimes in the things that we go through. He also reminds them that there's a goal that we must reach. There's a prize to go for. We must keep pressing on life no matter what hinders us. Keep pressing on to do God's work. And then he reminds us that he is the light and we can see things in the light. In this way, he's showing how all of us can see God through this transformation, healing of this blind man. When we look at this story of this blind man, it is a great example of how salvation comes to people at times. God reveals himself to us. He heals us. He comes to us and confronts us. This second point is Jesus comes to heal. Well, we see he made clay. We are made from the dust of the earth. Genesis 2:7 says that, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Could it be that when Jesus took that dirt and spit on it and put it on that man's eyes, he was reforming his eyes? I like to think that maybe God enjoys making things. You know, we enjoy making things. My granddaughter, now that, you know, she reminds me of how we used to like to play with Play-Doh. Missy's got a Play-Doh set, and she brings it out when my granddaughter comes. And, you know, I enjoy making things out of Play-Doh. You wouldn't think that, but, you know, I enjoyed it when my kids were growing up. But, you know, God likes making things. And when I just like to think about him making man, forming him. And that's just a thought. But I'm just thinking that maybe Jesus was forming those eyes, reforming them in the way that they needed to be. Well, notice the man's sight did not come back till he obeyed the Lord and went and washed in the pool of Siloam. Now, what is the pool of Siloam? Tom's going to put a picture on the board. The pool of Siloam is, Siloam means sent. The water was sent from outside of the walls of Jerusalem into Jerusalem from the Gihon Springs. It was sent through a channel that is 1,749 feet long. Hezekiah built this tunnel. It's called Hezekiah's Tunnel. If you go visit there today, a tour guide will take you down those steps, and you can go and see the water that's brought from the Gihon Springs, and there's a picture up there about it. And it's brought into this pool. Now, this pool's not very big. It's like 20 by 30, but it's a good sight. It's on the sightseeing tour. But anyway, so King Hezekiah built this pool because the general Sennacherib was coming to invade Jerusalem, and he wanted fresh water in there. But God saved him. That was a saving time even then. Well, we see the man's simple belief in of what Jesus did. Look at verse 11. He says, "Therefore they said to him, 'How were your eyes open?' And he answered and he said, 'A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, "Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." So I went and washed and received sight." So the man calls Jesus a man named Jesus. Jesus is a wonderful man. You think about it. He's the most wonderful man that ever lived. I mean, all he did was serve people. He loved people. He took care of his family. He healed people. You know, you can't say enough about him. But he was a truly wonderful man. You know, this man may have not known it at the time, but he is starting to give his testimony about Jesus. And as we go through this story, we'll see his testimony grows. Now, he doesn't know all the right words to say. He has a simple belief of what Jesus did. He didn't have all the correct theological terms or language. But here's the thing. Even when a person cannot understand with their intellect, he can still feel with his heart. It is better to love Jesus than to love all the theories about him. So he says, a man called Jesus. Notice when he got his sight, we'll back up just for a moment, in verse 9, they were talking about him. They said, where is he? Some said, here he is over here. No, that's not him. What about over there? No, that's not him. And in verse 9, he said, here I am. I'm him. I'm the one who was born blind. Look at me. You know, just think about that. Think about being able to see. You know, all those things he'd never been able to see at that time. He's being revealed to him. Imagine seeing for the first time. Think about the colors, the people. He's seeing his parents for the first time. He could only imagine what things looked like, because he could hear them, but he couldn't see them. Only imagine. Now Jesus has brought this light to him. And now he could see the temple, his parents. And, you know, probably too much to take in for the moment, you know. It reminds us that we need, sight is a wonderful thing. And it's a good thing, and it is good to keep our eyes on the Lord and to keep our eyes looking up. I told this story in Sunday school one time. I was doing a job on a house, and they had a low roof line. And the cornice of the house was about this high. And I was going out to my truck getting some tools, and my head was down. And I just kept walking thinking, bam! And I hit the cornice of the house. And I've never done that before, because most cornices are 10 to 12 or 20 foot high. But you know, I had my head down looking. So this man was now looking up. Think about all the things, the questions. You know, how was your eyes open? You know, he probably just did, a man named Jesus. That's what came to him. Well, it doesn't take long for people to start criticizing. When you start witnessing for the Lord, sometimes you're going to get criticized. Well, some people started criticizing. They said, where is he? And then they brought him to the Pharisees. We'll read verse 12. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Verse 13, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. And they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him, because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Notice he started out saying Jesus was a man. Now Jesus is a prophet. He's growing in his faith. You know, he's not had a lot of time to think about this. He's taking in all these things that he can see. Now he's realizing Jesus is a man of God. What does a prophet do? Well, a prophet gives God's word and tells about it. So he's realizing time is coming. He's realizing that Jesus is a man of God. And then they went, and the Jews did not believe him in verse 18. And that he had been blind and received his sight. They didn't believe that a true miracle had been done. And so they called his parents who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. So they went on and went on. The parents were scared because the Jewish authorities had said, if anybody believes in Christ and starts preaching and talking about him, you know, we might put you out of the synagogue. And so they were a little bit leery and they were a little bit scared. So the third, you know, they asked the parents, and it reminds us that our own testimony is what's important. We can't always rely on our parents or a good friend or a preacher or a Sunday school. Our own testimony is what God gives us, and he gives us that testimony to help us. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11. He says, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Each one of us will stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ, in front of the Bema seat of Christ. But you know, each one of us has a testimony that God gives us. You know, the Jews began to insult the man. They began to threaten the man and his parents and abuse them. The Pharisees did not want to believe that a true miracle had been done. You know, there's people in this world who are spiritually blind, and they will try to convince us that true believers, that what we are seeing and what we know in our heart and what we are living and believing sometimes is not real, because they cannot allow themselves to see what God has done and what God is doing. And so they cast doubt on Jesus and who He was and who He is. That's been Satan's scheme from the beginning, to cast doubt and to try to mess up our testimony. But you know what? We all have a testimony. There's one thing that we have as believers in Christ. We have a testimony. And this man wants to remind us there's one thing that we can give glory and praise to God for, and that's when Jesus came into our lives. We see a third attempt to question Him in verse 25. Well, verse 24, he says, "So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, 'Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner,'" talking about Jesus. "And the man who was born blind answered and said, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I know, that though I was blind, but now I see.'" Boy, what an answer. "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." What a testimony he's given. He knew that a true miracle had been done in his life. One thing about Christ that he could not deny, that he had been touched by the hand of God, that he had been touched by the power of God, and he had been touched by the Word of God and the hand of God, and the fact that he is not going to be forced into telling a lie about Christ, not by coercion or manipulation or by pleasing other people. This man knew that a miracle was done in his life. What a testimony. "This one thing I know, that I was blind, but now I see." Can we agree with that in our hearts tonight, that a miracle was done in your heart and my heart and continue to be done in your life and mine? You know, Jesus is in the business. He's not in the business of hurting, but He's in the business of healing. He's not in the business of destroying, but in the business of building. And He's not in the business of death, but He's in the business of life. And He wanted to give this man life. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We look again. They ask him again in verse 26 through 30. "Then they said to him, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' And he answered, 'I told you already, and you did not listen.'" Now listen, he's going to start preaching to them. He says, "Why? Do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" He's changing, isn't he? He started out with Jesus is just the man. He's a prophet. But now he knows that there's more to it. Then they said, "Well, no." They reviled him and said, "You are his disciple." They're calling this man a disciple of Jesus. I'm in verse 28. "But we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As far as this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, he's preaching again, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. Yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If the man," listen, he says, "if the man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said to him, "You are completely born in sins, and you are teaching us." And they cast him out. He says, "Hey, do you want to hear it again?" He starts giving them a testimony. He tries to persuade them about Jesus. I mean, he knows that a miracle's been done. And then they cast him out. Well, we see that Jesus comes to save. Jesus heard about him. I don't know where Jesus went, where John doesn't tell us that. And it's amazing, you know, you kind of wonder where the disciples are at, what they're doing, but they're catching all these things to write it down. So they're there. The Bible says in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, boy, I like that. Jesus found him. He said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. You know, Jesus hears and he knows all about us. He knows what's going on. David writes this in Psalm 34, 15, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." And verse 18, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." Jesus went seeking for this man who had been blind, but now is a castaway of the religious leaders. Look, Jesus could have gone to another place. He could have gone on to seek somebody else. But it's amazing that he hung around to find this person. You know, I'm so glad he found me. When I was 11 years old in Vacation Bible School, the Lord came to me and I accepted him and I'm so glad. And there's been times since then that I would get off the road sometimes and the Lord have to straighten me up. But he's always there on the road helping me and getting me where I need to be. You might say that Jesus is good at finding people. You might say that he specializes in that. Think about that. He loves enough, he tells the story, that he leaves the 99 sheep and goes and finds the one that is lost. He finds John and Andrew on the road, when you look back in the beginning of this chapter, on the road by John the Baptist and tells them to follow him. He finds Matthew at a tax collector's booth. He finds Peter in a boat, and he finds Mary at the tomb. Jesus is there to find people. He finds Peter on the road to Damascus and makes him blind so he can see and then gives him sight. Where did he find you? Is he still looking? And where does he find us now? Sometimes we have moments where we kind of get off the road. Sometimes Jesus has to just remind us and help us with our sight. Sometimes Jesus invites us by the touch of the Master's hand. I'm always like it when and appreciate it when Jesus came to the upper room where the disciples were and Thomas was there. Thomas says, "I won't believe him unless I touch the nail prints in his hand, unless I put my hand in his side." And Jesus came there and he says, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." We see this man, he saw Jesus. That's an amazing thing. And not only did he see Jesus, Jesus made sure, he said, you have both seen him and are talking with him. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we call that today prayer, having a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He hears your faintest cry and he answers by and by. Mary, when she came running from the tomb, she told the disciples, "I've just seen Jesus." Do we look for him? As this story of this blind man reminds me, we need to keep looking up for Jesus. The man's response is, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. You know, he had been standing by Christ this whole time, standing up for the Lord. He didn't know all the theological terms. He didn't know what everything to say. He said he's a man named Jesus. He's a prophet. And this one thing I know, that once I was blind and now I can see. And now he's worshiping the Lord. You know, when we stand up for the Lord, we get to worship with him. That reminds me of that. So as we look at this story, we see a progression. We see that Jesus comes to proclaim and he comes to heal. He comes to reveal himself to us and to all people. And then he comes to save. In this last verse, in verse 39, Jesus says this. He says, "For judgment I have come into the world, for those who do not see may see, and those who see may be blind." Jesus came in the world to save, but he also came for judgment. Some, when confronted with Jesus, see nothing to desire or admire or love. They have condemned themselves. But others, when confronted with Jesus, wonder at, respond to his words, and reach out for him. Then they are on their way to God. How do we see Jesus? Is there one thing that we know that we can say about Jesus? Our testimony. And it's a powerful thing, the testimony that God gives us. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful story, a story of love and compassion, where you passed by and stopped, just like you've done in all of our lives here tonight. Father, I thank you for that, for reminding me about that. And help us all to continually to look for you. You're there. You're always looking. And you're waiting. Thank you, Father. I ask that you give those who have come a blessing tonight. And help us, Lord, as we seek your will. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.